Oh my goodness, it's so good.
Here we go. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, those who, listen, this isn't your home, you're just passing through, right? Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a sojourner or a pilgrim. This isn't your home. This isn't, listen, these people who are like investing all up in the earthly things, they're going to disappear. One day they're going to go away. And if not, one day you're going to go away and somebody else is going to get all your hard work. What, invest in what is good and right and just and holy and godly. Invest in the things of the Lord, because we are sojourners. We're just passing along. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, well, that's all you got is what you got. Right? I know there was nothing encouraging about that one, but either way, it is what it is, right? Abstain from fleshly lust, which we talked about, and we gave that whole list. You guys remember that list of that we unfolded last week? And then he says, which war against the soul. And that is where we're going to pick up, is which war against the soul. Paul puts out a wonderful section of passage in Romans chapter 7 that explains the warring against the soul, right? Everybody has a battle at some point, amen? And okay, ladies, curiosity, how many of you pick out 13 outfits before you finally pick one, and you only pick one because the clock is out of time? How many in here? Anybody like, yeah, I got a few. I said girls, guys, keep your hands down. And so, because we're starting to get men that do that, right? I can't wear this. I'm sorry, oh, dear Jesus. Just give them a pair of man jeans. Yeah. A real shirt, cut the bun, send them out. All right, anyway. I'm adjusting my mic. All right, so, right? Like, there's this war that goes on, amen? How many of you struggle with where to go to eat? Right? So my wife, this has been years ago, like, we go back. Yeah. Any rate. And she, after church, I go, hey, where do you want to go to eat? I don't care. Well, pick a place. Well, I don't care. Great. So you know how I resolved that? I took her to the restaurant I knew she hated. Because I liked it. I pull in, she goes, I don't want to eat here. Oh, all of a sudden, now you care. Right? Where do you want to go eat? Don't say I don't care. We're walking through those doors and you can watch me eat. And you guys go, you wouldn't do that. Yeah, I would. We battle, don't we? We battle against certain things. We battle with making decisions. Can you imagine? And that's just us trying to decide. How many here, just out of curiosity, you're really indecisive? I got a few. And then I got the rest of you going, I don't know. Am I? The rest of you can't decide. At any rate, that which means indecisive, you didn't grab hold of all that. But that's what happens, right? Can you imagine if you're indecisive on a just a worldly level, on a personal level, when you throw in the Holy Spirit and then you throw in the satanic spirits that are warring against or for your soul, now the struggle gets real, because the flesh fights against itself anyway. What do I want? Don't know. Did I have this? Can I have that? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? I don't know what I want. And then Satan gets in there and he starts playing with you, right? Listen, he's the cat, you're the catnip. Just saying, bats it around or whatever. And then God comes in and God's like, wait a minute, you know better than that. What are you thinking? Why would you think like that? And Satan's going, because it's good, right? And now the war starts. And it gets really difficult. Paul understands this. So Paul lays out in Romans chapter 7, if we look at it, 7:14, you can go to your Bibles. We're going to have it up here. And it's 7:14 through 23. But I want to point a few things out as we go through this. Amen. So in 7:14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. the law that he's referencing, because you know, we think of the law today. Well, the law today is corrupt. I mean, let's just be honest. The law today, lawlessness will abound, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, in the end times, lawlessness will abound, which doesn't mean more people will break the law. What it means is the law won't keep the law. Lawlessness will abound. The law won't keep the law. Well, we see that. What Paul's talking about here is the law that God set up in the Ten Commandments, if you will, in the Old Testament. What was the Levitical law? That was expected from the Jews to live because God sets the standard for them to follow. And so he's like, look, we know the law is spiritual because remember, who set the law for the Jews? God did. So we know that the law is spiritual, just for clarification, because people look at today and they're like, hey, the law is spiritual and it's of God, and so you should follow it. Yeah, you're biblically wrong. Anyway, let's move on, right? But I am carnal. He says, you know what? I'm carnal. I'm sinful. I'm in the flesh. And I'm sold under sin. That's how many here are sold under sin? Yeah, every one of you. Don't be indecisive. Here we go. Right? I mean, if Paul sold under sin, we're all sold under sin. Amen? I mean, listen, Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament. Paul is the man when it comes to planting churches and being missionary and winning people to Jesus. And he's like, I'm sold under sin. God purchased us out of the sin. I'm sold under sin. Here we go. 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. Anybody else feel like that? Why am I doing this? Why did I do that? What am I thinking? Right? For what I will to do, that is for what I really desire to do, I don't do it. I don't practice it. But what I hate, what I shouldn't be doing, what is wrong in God's eyes, that's what I do. Anybody else? I mean, look, you're in good company if you're with Paul, right? I mean, you know, some of you are like, man, he's asking way too much for me to volunteer. He's with Facebook and he's taking down information so he can track my credit card. Romans 7:16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. 17. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. It is the side of us that we want to feed. Amen? And listen, it could be legit. I mean, feelings are real. Amen? They just have to be controlled. And how many here, I'm just curious, you have an addictive personality? I'm just curious, right? Yeah, some of us, right? It's like, I had a friend of mine who he couldn't chew gum. And you're like, what? He could chew gum. He was intelligent enough to do that. But the problem was he would put the gum in and he goes, I don't know why I chew gum. And I go, then why do you chew gum? It's just so good. I can't keep it. And he swallows it. I'm like, dude, you don't swallow gum. You chew gum. And he goes, I can't. All the years I knew him, every time he put the gum in, within 3 minutes, down. It's his process. Anyway, but we have this addictive personality, right? Like he couldn't leave it alone because he knew what would happen, but yet he kept doing it. That's what we do. Amen? There's just certain things. Listen, coming out of the drug culture and the drinking culture and all that when I was younger, man, there was just like it set up war on me. And this is what Paul's talking about. And then we got to discipline ourselves. We got to bring ourselves into subjection. He said, but now it's no longer I who do it, but that sinfulness that is in me. 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. So for those of you who think you're good, for to will is present with me, to desire to do what is right, that is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I'm clueless. Anybody else clueless? Right? I'm just doing some, I'm helping you identify yourself. That's all right, never mind. 19. For the good that I will to do, for the good that I desire to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not, or I desire not to do, that's what I practice. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Just because I want to do good doesn't mean I'm going to do good. Like the desire's in me, right? The will to do good. How many here you really want to do good? I'm not going to ask if you really do bad. We'll leave that one alone. But right, it's like I want to do good. I want to do good. And then that thing which captures us is like, forget all that good stuff that we get focused in. So the one who wills to do good, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That spiritual side of me knows God is right and God is good, and I delight in God and I want the things of God, but I want what I want too. That's what Paul's saying. 23. Oh, and the inward man, that is who is in us, right? The real us. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul's like, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And so the good that I don't do, I really want to do. But because of sin that's in me, I can't do it. But God tells me I can do it, but I can't do it because there's this war going on inside of me. I give up. That was this whole passage. I could have said that, spared us the reading. Amen. 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now stop right there. So Paul lists out this whole battle, this whole struggle. There's this war going on, and it's a constant war. And man, there's just sometimes when you pillow your head, you feel like you have lost the battle. Amen? Right? I mean, there's things that you say, do, look at, whatever it is. And then when you're done, you're like, Lord, why can't I stop this? And then Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this struggle? Who will help me win the battle? Go to the next verse. I don't think I had it up there, but thank you. I thank God. Now, if you notice in 24, Paul asks the question. First, he sets up the scenario. And then he asked the question, how can I get victory? And then he answers it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I find, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. 26, please. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what we see is Paul sets up the scenario. It's real. The struggle is real. The battle is real. And listen, we can lose to it or we can win. And Paul says in 7:20, go back one, please. In 7:25, after the scenario, he asked the question, how do we have victory? And then in 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're struggling and you're struggling for victory, I'm going to tell you right now, it's only through Jesus. That's it. There's nothing else going to deliver you. There's nothing else going to deliver me. And you can keep thinking you can do it in your own strength, but Paul's made it clear, man, you're going to get your hiney handed to you. It's going to be bad. And some of you, you're sitting here and you're like, well, it's not that bad. Well, you're the proverbial frog. Amen? Here's what's happened. And I don't know if you guys know what a proverbial frog is, but it's the scenario we get. Because if you take a frog and you put him in a pot of water, he's fine. Turn the burner on. Turn the heat up. He's still fine. He is fine all the way to the boiling point. And then it's too late. He dies. See, because what the frog does is the frog constantly adjusts to the water temperature. And as humans, you know what we do? We constantly adjust to the pressures. Now, some collapse, some don't. Some jump in and ride the train, and some try to bail out. But what do? We adjust. Perfect example is all the vaccine mandates, mask mandates, all the political mandates that are, all the pressures that are coming on us now, right? And what are people doing? They're constantly giving and giving and giving. I was talking to a lady yesterday, a male lady, and she was like, oh, I can't wait for all this to go away. And I looked at her, her name was Kelly. I said, Kelly, it's not going away. And she said, what do you mean it's not going away? I said, as long as people keep complying, the pressure will keep on, and we, as the proverbial frog, will keep adjusting to the change of temperature until we die. And that is exactly what's happening to America right now. That is exactly what Paul's talking about, and that is what we do. We're the proverbial frog if we don't hold on to Jesus. We don't follow the word of God. We don't surrender to the things of God rather than to the things of man. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and war against the government, although it may not be a bad idea at this point, but what I'm saying is we surrender to the things of God, and that's what Paul's saying. But because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I got victory. So if your battle is outrageous, are you holding on to Jesus? It's your, listen, let me help you. Are you ready? That's your only solution. Now, I'm serious. That's your only solution. You let go of Jesus, and you're going to be the proverbial rock that sinks to the ocean, the bottom of the ocean. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's nothing else out there that's saving people. There's not another religion out there, if you will, that says, come to me and I'll deliver you. All of them are saying or demanding things from us. All these religions demand things from people. God's the only one that says, you come to me and I'll deliver you through my son, Jesus Christ. Paul says, you're going to fight this war. Man, it's just going to be vicious. But through Jesus Christ, we have victory. See, like there's a whole process, guys. And if you think you can do it on your own, that means you're doing it on your own. How's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? Someone once said, because they don't want to give their money, they don't want to tithe, they don't want to give their money to God. And then, of course, because they don't want to give what God asked for, it's my fault. All I want is people's money. And they're like, well, you know, church just wants my money. I'm so glad you figured it out so early. Thank you. And anyway, I don't want your money. I don't care if you give money or you don't give. That's between you and God. God takes care of his house. Then the next thing was, man, I'm getting all these raises and promotions and I don't even tithe. Let me tell you something. Satan's got bait too. Anyway, right? What's happening? It's like this self-justification. But are you ready? This person's life is falling apart. The family, their family falling apart. They're have went from doing well when they come to church to now drinking and drugs, and like their whole life is starting to switch over. And if you know why, it's like, oh, the whole stumbling point was money. I don't need God to bless me. What about your life? You need God, because this war is going to take you down, because none of us are strong enough to fight Satan or stand against God. None of us. Satan will stomp you. He is no respecter of person. He don't care about you. Oh, and he'll give you good stuff. Sure he will. Why not? Feed the beast, man. Feed the beast. Keep that beast distracted. Keep that beast set aside and apart from God. Oh, my life is fine. Not apart from God, it isn't. And you sell your only soul for what? For that which will rust, rot, and decay? Satan doesn't care. The battle's real. But through Jesus Christ, we have victory. And that's what Paul's whole part in Romans was. Look at all this. It's real. It exists. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's a battle. And it's every day. And man, what I want to do, I don't do. But what I desire to do, I put aside. And it goes, but through Jesus Christ, we have victory. We have victory. And we need that victory. Galatians 5, 17 through 18. 5:17 through 18. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Now, if you notice, spirit is what? Capitalized. So we know that because it's capitalized, it's the Holy Spirit of God. And we war or battle against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, hey, whoa, 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 that's wrong. Don't do it. And you say, man, who are you? And we move on, right? That is what it's talking about. The flesh wants what it wants. The Holy Spirit says, hey, hold on. And we're like, hold on, nothing. I'm moving forward. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You can't do that. Yes, I can. You can't do it. Yes, I can. And that is this battle. How many have ever been in that argument? And these are contrary one to another so that you do not do the things that you wish. We have the Holy Spirit that says, stop. Stop. You can't go backwards. Don't do it. Stop. Stop. That's the Holy Spirit. Then the flesh is like, you hear something? Isn't that what we do? It's like, I don't hear anything. You hear anything? I don't hear anything. All right, let's go. 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, meaning that God, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, then you're not going to fulfill the things of the flesh. That's literally the law. Remember, the law are the things of the flesh and the Spirit are the things of God. Verse 19. No, 18 is all I wanted. Sorry. So we have a war that wages against us. And listen, it takes place in the soul of who we are, the very core of who we are. Let me tell you something, man. Satan knows what you like because you show him every day. You show him by what you look at, what you read, what you watch. And Satan's like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good tool. Oh, I could basically hang him with that one. And he just keeps making notes on us. And I can prove it to you. I'm glad you asked me to do that. Job, if we look in the book of Job, we look in the book of Job, chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I think a piece of 4. God offers Job up to Satan. There's this meeting in heaven. Don't ask me about that. I know it's like, really? Satan goes back to heaven and they have the meeting with God? So another day. But at any rate, they have the meeting in heaven with the sons of God. That's fallen angels and angels. And so they come in and Satan comes up and he says, Satan, what are you doing? Or Lucifer, what are you doing? I'm walking up and down to and fro on the earth looking for someone to take out. To destroy, to devour, the Bible says. And then God, in all of his wisdom, says, have you considered my servant Job? Under the bus, right? He's an upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Now, you would have thought Satan would have went, Job, let me look in my book, J's. Job. Oh, Job. There it is. He doesn't do that. What does he do? He immediately, when God says, have you considered my servant Job? Satan immediately said, what does he want? He wants for nothing. You put a hedge of protection about him. You take care of him. He's got wealth. He's got this. He's got that. But I'll tell you what, man, you take away his riches, he'll curse you. Satan knew Job that quick. That quick. Do you think we're any different? Oh, no. Oh, no. Satan knows us. Satan's desire is to take us down, not because he loves or hates us. We're immaterial to him. He hates God, and he doesn't want God to get the victory. So here's what he'll do. He destroys us so we can't praise God. Satan wins. God loses. You understand what I'm saying? The battle. And that's all he cares about. It's a chess game. Satan's like, I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the throne. I will be above the heavens. I. In order for me to do that, God, you got to go down and everybody else goes with him. Let me tell you something. Satan doesn't give a rip about you and me. And he knows us. And he knows our likes, our dislikes. He knows everything about us. Only because he can't read our minds. He doesn't know our thoughts. He just sits back and watches. The Bible says that we will know each other by what? Our fruits, our actions, what we do. So someone's like, hey, I don't do that, but you know them. And you're like, dude, I know you. Why? Because we watch their actions. Satan watches our actions. Him and his demons, his little cronies. They watch us. They make notes. And so what happens is we have this war that's going on. And you could call it a civil war, right? Because it's you, a person, against what? The army of Satan. And it's a battle. It's a struggle. And so when we have the lust of the flesh, it absolutely wages war between us and God. Prior to conversion, all sinners live under the dominance of fleshly lust. Ephesians 2:1-3. Prior to conversion. Because you know, some people are like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't have victory. You don't have victory because you choose not to have victory. That's the problem. The problem isn't that victory can't exist. The problem is we're not interested in it. We're still interested in the flesh, right? We've been trained by society, this microwave society, instant, got to have it now. I deserve it. Let me tell you something. I work really hard, real hard. And according to society, I deserve a new truck. I deserve it. But God says, you can't afford it. Right? So now we get this war, and so we make all these adjustments to get what we deserve. And God's like, hold on a minute. Hold on. Stop. Stop. You might deserve it, but you can't afford it. Don't do it. You'll put yourself in financial bondage. I don't know about you, but I can't afford a new truck. I have other desires. So, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? So what happens is we come in and we want, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, let me help you with this. Let me help you to think. Prior to salvation, prior to conversion, I had no control. Man, I went out and I used to drive semi. I hauled hazmat material. That might be some of my issues today. I don't know. And so, anyway, I hauled hazmat material and drove semi long tankers. And we lived in North Carolina, and I was coming down the road, and there was this motorcycle shop on the right, about 45 minutes from my house. And I drove by it, and I was like, whoa, because they had stuff out in the yard, you know, to get my attention. They knew I was coming by. And so I'm like, here, I got this long truck, this tanker. I got to get it back to the shop. And I went, I'm driving and I'm going, looking back in my mirror. I'm like, boom, boom, boom. you turn this big old rig and go back and see what they had for sale. I liked what they had for sale. I bought what they had for sale. Then I, don't woo me. Then I went home and had to tell my wife what happened. And she's like, you didn't even ask me. I figured you'd be okay with it. How are we going to afford it? I'll quit smoking. You're not going to quit smoking. Inside, I'm like, yeah, you're right. On the outside, though, I'm going, yes, I will. And my smoking will pay for it. And right, how many have ever justified that mess, right? And that's what we do. If we fail to control the flesh, it creates battles. So in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says, and you he made alive who were, past tense, right? If you listen, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he's made you alive. So now you're a Christian, you're his, and then you're no longer dead to the sins of the world. Next verse, please. 2. In which you once walked. Are you seeing all the past tense? Listen, if you're a child of God, you're no longer under the influence of Satan. You're no longer his. Because when we're born as children of Satan. We are literally the devil's child, and he's our daddy. And you're like, not me. Your denial shows your sin. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. I would never go out and buy new stuff now and just surprise my wife. Surprise, new truck. I'd be divorced and have to give up the pulpit. Anyway, because she would kill me. And so, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Look at spirit. What is that? Lowercase. That's Satan's spirit who works where? In the sons of disobedience, which means if you are a child of God, you're no longer under that control. Now, you can be under the influence, but you're not under the control. You once walked. The verse before that, you were. You're no longer there if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So here's the truth of the matter. It's not a matter of excuses. It's just a matter of decision. That's going to determine our walk. Amen. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were under that. We were the children of Satan. We were under the wrath. We were all of that stuff. But if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you no longer are. You are free from that oppression as long as you decide to be free. But the minute you think that you can go back into that and be free, you can't. The war is bondage. God is freedom. And we're either going to walk in Christ or we're going to put ourselves in bondage. It's your decision. And people will say this, Pastor, you don't understand. It's so hard. I know, because I'm not a human being. I've been sent by God as a spirit and I have no clue of the earthly things. Call me Mork from Ork. At any rate, how many remember Mork from Ork? Nice. I got a few of you. Yeah. You're all right there with me, my age. Okay, here we go. And so what happens is, listen, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But if you know Jesus Christ, you're no longer under that condemnation. You're no longer in that jailhouse, if you will. You've been freed. You've been released. I need you to go to Ephesians 5:8-11, please. Watch this. For you were once darkness, not in darkness. You were dark, which means you were sinful, spiritually ugly, bleh, to God. But you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So guess what you do? Walk like Jesus is your Savior and God is your Father. See, because you're no longer, you have the ability. When people are like, I can't live holy. No. Hey, let me help you. You won't live holy. I just can't do this. I'm too weak. Because you're doing it in your own strength and you left God out of it. Or the desires of your heart have gotten so great that you don't bring God in with you. The battle's real. I'm not denying the battle, but what I'm telling you is you don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to keep trekking that way. We have a way out. We were once darkness. We once conducted ourselves. We were once blinded. But no more. No more. Listen, you don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to allow this sin that so easily besets you or sets you back to defeat you. You don't have to keep carrying, as Romans chapter 12 says, you don't have to keep carrying this weight that so easily drags you back and wears you out to where you give in. We don't have to. It's not going to be easy. Oh my goodness, it's not going to be easy. Every now and then you just got to stop and take your breath and regroup. Amen. It's a battle. It's a real battle. It's real. And man, it can rage on. But if you're a child of God, you're no longer there. That means we have the tools to have victory. Are you going to exercise and use your tools? Look here in 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Fruit of the Spirit. Next, 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. But here's the problem. We like darkness. Because darkness hides our sinfulness. Amen? And he says, look, don't walk in that. Don't walk in that. So once you're saved, God commands us to abstain from being driven by sinful things. 1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, there's another good litmus, right? 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And remember, we've talked about these three things. It's the only way you can sin. Jesus, and remember, I said this before, but I'm going to say it again just because I think it holds so much value to it. Jesus was never tempted with homosexuality, pedophilia, drunkenness, idolatry, because, I mean, he is God. Why would he idolize another little g God or a different, right? Not adultery. He wasn't married, so he wasn't tempted with adultery. None of that stuff. And you're like, well, if he's tempted in every way we are, he was. Ah, man, you guys ask great questions today. What does it look like? Lust of the flesh. If you read Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted with what? He fasted 40 days. He was hungry. Hey, if you're God, turn these stones into bread. And you can eat. Lust of the flesh. Then we have lust of the eyes. Hey, come up on top of this mountain and everything you see, I'll give you. That's what Satan was telling Jesus. Come up on top of the mountain and everything you see, I'll give you. Lust of the eyes. He wasn't looking at people inappropriately or things inappropriately. And then look at here, pride of life. If you're the son of God, like if, right? Satan's such a jerk. If you're the son of God, throw yourself down from this mountain and a legion of angels. By the way, a legion is 10,000. A legion of angels will come and save you. They'll catch you before you hit the ground if you're the son of God. If I was Jesus, I would have went, see those two fingers? Any rate, right? That was the temptings that Jesus had. No more, no less. Those three things. But for us, it might look different. For us, lust of the flesh might be desires that aren't good, whether drugs, alcohol, sex, food, cutting yourself, anything that satisfies this flesh, right? Pride of life. Yeah, I'm a self-made man. Look at the tattoo across my neck. It says self-made. How many have ever seen those? It's like, dude, your mama and daddy made you. Don't you get it? Get that thing off. Laser, whatever. Anyway, these are the three things. Don't get caught up in them and understand this. That's all that's in the world. And if we get caught up in that, we lose. John 2:17. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Not because good works get you to heaven, but because you're doing the things of God shows that you are God's. And that's how you get to heaven, is by being a child of Jesus Christ. So to understand the scriptures. Amen? You can't work for it. It's just by doing what's right shows you are God. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And again, these are just passages that show us and give us what we need to say. Hey, you're no longer in darkness. You're a child of God, and therefore you don't have to lose or be overcome with darkness. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Right? There's no agreement. God is God and idols is nothing. For you, oh, there you go. For you are the temple of the living God. All right? The living God. There's only one. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is where the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. That's what he means by dwell in us. Right? We are now children of God, and therefore, because we are the temple of God, and God lives in us, we can be victorious. Go to 17, please. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Now, hold on here a minute, guys, because this is right here. This is where you, if you love me, you're probably going to dislike me real quick. God says, listen, and this is going contrary to today's thought process, but you've got to hear me. You got to hear what I'm about to say. I'm not trying to divide. I'm not trying to create hate. I'm not trying to be that pastor that separates everyone. No. I'm trying to show you through the Word of God that God separates his children from the world. God says to come out of the world. God says to be separate. God says don't identify with. God says make yourself different so that when people look at you, they see me. When they look at the lost person, they see the world. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be a separation. Come out from the world. Stop looking like the world. Stop living like the world. Stop loving the things of the world. Stop surrendering to the world. Stop it. Just stop it. Like that. Like this is where God's at. And so he says, therefore, come out from among them. Who is them? The world. The world. Well, pastor, you should open this church up and just let everybody in. No. Everybody's welcome, but if you come in here and you bring the world in here, I'm booting you back home. Why? Why would you do that? The church is a hospital for the sick, and sinners are sick. Don't give me all that malarkey junk. The church, if you study, oh my, this is where everybody's going to hate me. Lord, protect their heart. All right, here we go. The church is a place where the children of God can come and be restored and encouraged and taught the scriptures and lifted up and prepared to do what? To go out among the world so they can live separate. That's what the church is for. It is not my duty. It is my duty. Ooh, boy, I'll back that one up because someone will take that out of context and run with it. It is not my job or only my job to win people to Jesus. It is every Christian's job to do the work of an evangelist. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should be winning people to Jesus. If you're not winning the people to Jesus, you're not talking about Jesus, you're not doing the things of God, the question is, do you really love God? That's the real question. If you're just living unto yourself, I'm shy. Oh my goodness, I want to throw up when I hear that. God didn't call you to be shy. God called you and empowered you. God says, be separate, to grow, to learn, and then go out and do the work of an evangelist. Be separate from the world means you don't partake in the things of the world. Paul even said, listen, I can't ask you to not be in the world because you got to live somewhere. And if you're not living in the world, you're going to be with Jesus or you're going to be right dead and gone. I mean, so what does it look like? We don't partake in the things of the world. We're separate. I had someone reach out to me the other day and said, because look, I ain't going to lie to you. I don't wear a mask. If you wear a mask, wear it. God bless you. Wear it. If that makes you comfortable and gets you through the day, then do it. I'm not going to get the vaccine, but if you want the vaccine, go get the vaccine. If that is your decision, you've educated yourself, do whatever you're going to do. God bless you. And I had someone send me a message that said, just so you know, Jesus would have worn a mask and got the vaccine. To which I responded, just a reminder, he's God. He really doesn't need it. Right? Dear Jesus. My point in that being said is we get so lost or caught up in the way we think things should be that we lose sense of reality. Jesus rose people from the dead. He touched the lepers, which nobody else would ever do because they would get leprosy, right? He touched the lepers and he healed them. He gave the blind sight. He gave the hearing to the deaf. Listen, he touched the dead and they rose up. He gave the lame ability to walk. Don't tell me Jesus is going to get a vaccine and wear a mask. He doesn't need it. He's God. We need him. He doesn't need to adjust to us. Be separate from the world and come out. That's what we're called to do. Do not touch what is unclean. Jesus wouldn't get near people if he was sick. He wouldn't be sick. What's happening? We keep associating God with the world and then expecting us to live like the world, thinking that Jesus would. We have to be separate. 18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You can't be separate from the world until you receive Christ as your Savior. It's not going to happen. Wishful thinking won't make it happen. None of that's going to make it happen. The only thing that's going to make it happen is you surrender as Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you become a son or a daughter to the Lord. And he says, look, I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. What does that look like? Be separate. Be separate. People think that I'm not, people that have a mind don't think this, but others that seem to be mindless think this. They're like, oh, Pastor, you're such a hateful man. I've listened to your podcast. It's full of hate. Or I've had people leave the church because, like, you just preach hate and anger. What do you want me to preach? God's love. Oh, I'm always going to make you mad. I'm always going to appear to be the hateful one. And here's the crazy thing, guys. I'm just reading scripture. I'm just reading scripture. God says, I'll be a father to you, but man, you got to come out from the world. 7:1. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? Because of what I just said. That's the therefore. Because anytime you see a therefore, you got to go backwards to find out what it's there for. Sometimes you got to go back 2 chapters, 3 chapters to get the therefore. So what he says here is therefore, because of what I just told you, be separate. If you're a child of God, be separate from the world. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? God says that you will be my child, my children, and I will love you. And if you're female, you'll be my daughter. And if you're male, you'll be my son. And if you're anything else, you need therapy. And so here we go. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, who are we talking to? Christians, right? Because the lost can't have the therefore. The lost can't be a child of God. The lost are not a son or daughter of the Father God. And so who's he talking to? Beloved, please don't sit here and fool yourself to think that you're a child of God because you don't want to accept the reality you're not. Don't do that to yourself. That's that war where Satan's like, hey, dude, you're fine. Man, I remember when I got saved, I got up Sunday morning. Man, if I don't hurry up with this one. I got up a Sunday morning, and I remember laying in bed, and I said, and it was October 2nd, 1994. And I said, today is the day I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. I get up, and I said, I'm going to dress my best. God gave me his best. I'm going to dress my best. And I put on the only suit that I had. And the only reason I had a suit was because my father died. And I bought the suit to go to his funeral. I get to the church that morning. And I'm sitting there. We're all sitting down. And the invitation comes. Because how many wonder why every Sunday I give an invitation for you to get saved? Because, man, I want you saved. And if you're on the cusp at the end of the service, I want you to get saved. If you're not, go home and keep thinking about it, right? At any rate, the invitation comes. We stand up, and I'm like, at the time, there was pews, not chairs, in that church. And I'm standing like this during the invitation, right? And then he says, any of you that would like to get saved, you come on down. And all of a sudden, my heart felt like it was going to explode. It was beating so fast, I literally looked down at my suit to see if the jacket was doing this. I am white knuckled. John, you're fine. Don't move, dude. You stay right here. It's good, man. It's good. You don't need to go up there. You're good, man. You're good. Just stay right here. And I thought it was like a 10-minute battle. Now, if you ask my wife, she'll tell you it was like 10 seconds, which she doesn't know how to tell time anyway. So, I... oh, my goodness. I'm in so much trouble. All right. So, anyway, I'm like this, right? And then the invitation comes. And man, all of a sudden I'm like, whew, and I go down. I look at the pastor. Now, mind you, I'm living in a world I shouldn't be in. I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. My life is full of all the wrong. So, and I'm an intense guy, if nobody's ever noticed. And I get these crazy eyes. If you ask my daughters anyway, I don't think so, but ask my daughters. And because they're like, Dad, don't look at me with those eyes. Apparently, I had these eyes when I went down front to Jimmy Carroll, who was the pastor or one of the pastors on staff at that time. And I got there and I'm like, I get right in his face. And he goes, what do you want? I'm like, dude, you called me down here. I mean, you tell me what I want. And he goes, you want to get saved? I go, if that'll slow my heart down, that's what I want. And then I went and got saved. Al Hedges takes me to the back and I pray and ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I gave it all. But prior to that, you're fine. Don't move. Don't go anywhere, man. Stay right here. Why? Man, I'm telling you what, there is a battle that's going on. But right here, verse 7:1, therefore, because of all the things I just told you, having his promise, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The only way the cleansing comes is with surrender. That's it. That's all you got. And it's a decision. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't know that I gotta work on some things. No, you need to make a decision. If the house is on fire, are you going to sit down and draw a diagram out on how to save the house while it's burning? No, let me help you. Your house is on fire if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going to die and go to hell. You're not even promised to make it home. You're not even promised to leave this service. Surrender. Make a decision. You want to live? Listen, you want to live for God? Make a decision. You want to live for you? Make a decision. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. There's this process. No, the process is make a decision. That's the process. Make the decision. What we commit to today will have victory over tomorrow. What we commit to today will also serve tomorrow. Make a decision. Make a decision. That's all we got to do. Make a decision. Boy, I got to roll through this. We're going to have part four. And I'm just, guys, you're going to have to just extend to me grace today. I'm asking, please. The key to abstain from fleshly lust, fleshly desires, right? Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look, I could have just went to this verse and said amen and been done. And some of you are probably saying amen, why didn't you? But I just, listen, I got to give you your money's worth. Here we go. Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the spirit, you shall not walk in the lust of the flesh. What do you want? That's what you're going to do. It's that simple. You can walk with God and you'll satisfy that, or you can walk in yourself and you'll satisfy that, but you will do what you decide to do. I will do what I decide to do, and nothing will change it until we decide different. Nothing. Make a decision. You tired of living the way you're living? Change it. You're tired of the struggles you have? Quit focusing on them and get the victory in Christ. Make a decision to do what you're going to do. I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We say, hey, that's simple, but it's hard. I get it. 1 Corinthians 9:27, exercising godly discipline is, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He says this, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. That's not something that just happens. That is something he does on purpose. There's the difference, guys. We do what we want to do. Amen? We have to make a decision. Look here, 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'm almost done. I'm reading my passages and we're going to finish up. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, what's the therefore? Go back. I ain't got time, but you can go back, read it. You'll see what it is. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, protecting holiness in the fear of God. If you notice, everything here is work. Cleanse ourselves and perfecting holiness. These are conscious decisions and then methodical process. It doesn't just happen. Well, I'm waiting on God to move. God says, I already moved. It's your turn. Here we go. I need you to go to James 1:13-15. I'm going to tell you right now, the battle is won or lost on the inside of us. Here, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, he'll test us, but he doesn't tempt us. He'll test us to purify us, but he'll never tempt us for us to sin, just for clarity. 14, but each one is tempted. When are we tempted? When we're drawn away by our own desires. And enticed. The enticing is of Satan. The drawn away is because he knows what little hook we, what bait to use and what we'll run to. Amen? Listen, some of you, if we took coffee and we just set it side by side, and I took my coffee and set it here, and then we take this frou-frou apple, whatever junk right there, right? Listen, what are you going to go to? Hopefully you go to my coffee because it's better than frou-frou. Any rate, right? But what do we desire? What are we? Love you, Matt. What are we enticed with? That's what we're going to have to deal with, right? 15, please, real quick. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. It's one thing to battle with sin, but it's another to take it to the fullest extent. And when we take sin to the fullest extent, it kills us spiritually. Spiritually. And then you're going to struggle. But I want you to see, and I'm ending on this, blessings come with obedience. Blessings come with obedience. Right here, this is my last verse. Then, go to James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has, and by the way, the man literally is humanity, is blessed for anyone, if you want to read it in its context or the desired message that James is trying to get out. Blessed is the person who endures temptation, for when that person has been approved, that person will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And the reason you know it's that person is because at the bottom, to those who love him, right? It's to whoever comes in. So I'm just going to tell you, if you're obedient, blessed is the man who endures the temptation, or the person who endures the temptation, God will bless you. Is it easy? No, don't even let me pretend for a moment to make you think it's easy. And the world keeps making it harder and harder and harder. But it's a decision. It's just a decision. That's all it is. We will decide to live for God or not live for God. We will decide to give our life to Jesus Christ or will not decide to give our life to Jesus Christ. It's a decision. But if you decide God, you're blessed. If you decide you, have fun. Because this is all you're going to have. I want every head to be bowed, every eye closed. I'm just going to take a moment. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's real simple. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the only way to heaven is to surrender to him. There's no other way. The only way to have victory in life is to surrender to Jesus. There's no other way. The only way to walk in this Holy Spirit is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Listen, Jesus is the only way. And you can surrender to him now and have him help you have victory, or you can keep fighting this battle by yourself and hope at the end you get saved before you die. It's going to be your choice. If you're here today and you wish to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe he died on the cross for your sins. You believe he's the Savior of the world. You believe he conquered death and hell, and you believe he's at the right hand of the Father today. That's what we have to believe. And then the Bible in Romans 10:9-10 says, For with the heart man believes unto Jesus or righteousness, and with the mouth confesses that belief. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, you pray this prayer. The prayer is not magical. The words are not magical. It's just a roadmap to walk you through the process so you can say, this day, I gave my life to Jesus Christ on purpose. That's all the prayer is for. If you don't mean it in your heart, don't pray the prayer because it's useless. We can mouth the words, I want to be a car and fit in the garage, and you can fit in the garage, but you'll never be the car. See, to want something or to think it in your mind is immaterial. We got to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If your desire to give your life to Jesus, because you believe He's the Savior of the world, the only way to heaven, then you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender to you. I believe that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that died for me. And today I receive that gift of salvation. I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.